ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 15, text 20 and 21. So we first read the text number 20 and then we have the text 21. So haham निपेदं निजुं पुरुषोत्तमेन सद्याप्येन सुदर्दारिदेन संज्ञा अदावनीय कर्म परिज्ञं सारक गोपायस सवद्यर अबलेन यं तास्मि Translation. O emperor, now I am separated from my friend and dearmost well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appeared to be void of everything. In his absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel coward men while I was guarding the bodies of all the wives of Krishna. So we read the purport also. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The important point in this verse is how it was possible that Arjuna could be defeated by a gang of ignoble coward men and how such mundane coward men could touch the body of the wives of Lord Krishna, were under the protection of Arjuna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has justified the contradiction by research in the Vishnu Purana and Brahma Purana. In this Purana, it is said that once the fair denizen of heavenly place it said that once the fair denizen of heaven pleased Ashtavakra Muni by their service and were blessed by the Muni to have the Supreme Lord as their husband. Ashtavakra Muni was curved in 8 joints of his body. Thus he used to move in a peculiar curved manner. The daughter of the demigods could not check their laughter after seeing the movement of the Muni, and the Muni, being angry at them, cursed them that they would be kidnapped by the rogue, even if they would get the Lord as their husband. Later on, the girl again satisfied the Muni by their prayers, and the Muni blessed them that they would regain their husband even after being robbed by the rogues. So in order to keep the word of the great Muni, the Lord himself kidnapped his wife from the protection of Arjuna. Otherwise, they would have at once vanished from the scene as soon as they had been touched by the rogues. Besides that, some of the gopis who prayed to become wives of the Lord returned to their respective position after the desire was fulfilled. After the departure of Lord Krishna, he wanted all of his entourage back to Godhead, and they were called back under the different conditions only. So we are reading text 21.
Tadvaidanushta Ishvara Ratada Yaste Soham Nati Nipadayo Yatada Anhanti Ram Chane Natada Bud Asad Isariktam Basmanutam Kutala Radam Irapavam Nitsiyam. Tadvaidanusta Ishvara Rato Vajaste Sahara Nitri Petayo Yata Ramanti Sarvam Sanena Tadabu Dasadi Saritam Basmanu Tankudhaha Radam Nipartas Viyudyam
Tadvaidanushta Ishvara Rato
Vasam Kura Koha Karadham Yivos
horses. And I used the same, and I used as the same Arjuna, to whom all the king offered their due respect. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at the moment noise, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seed on barren land. Please repeat after me. I have the very same Gandiva bow.
The same arrow.
The same chariot.
Drawn by the same horses.
And I use them.
As the same Arjuna.
To whom all the kings.
Offer their due respect.
But in the absence of Lord Krishna.
But in the absence of Lord Krishna.
All of them.
All of them,
at the moment noise, At the moment notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering
clarified
butter
on ashes,
accumulating money
with a magic wand,
or sowing seed
on barren land.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowing plums. All energy and powers are derived from the Supreme Source, Lord Krishna, and they act as long as he desires and cease to function as soon as he withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. In a moment's time, such energy can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization, without the blessing of the Lord, is child play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it is all right. As soon as the parent withdraws, the child has to stop. Human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without this blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration of a dead body. It is said here that the dead civilization and its activities are sometimes like clarified butter on ashes, the accumulation of money by magic wand, and the sowing of seed in barren land. Om Agyanati Miranda Syada Nandana Chalakaya Chakshurutanena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Sadguru Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Samastaya Srimad Jaya Pataka Swami Nityananda Namo Chiru Padaya Nitai Pipa Pradaya Ne Gaura Parada Madaya Ne Gaura Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Samastaya Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namo Sarasvati Deva Gaura Vani Prachaya Nirvishesha So in this particular pastime of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see that after Lord Krishna departed, all the energy and power which Arjuna had withdraws. So this is a very important point, because Krishna is the Ishvara, is the source of all energy, is the controller of all energy, and as you can see in this particular pastime, even though Arjuna was alone in the Mahabharata pastime, we can see he defeated thousands and thousands of soldiers, and no one could defeat him when Krishna was in his presence. Duryodhana, in so many ways, he tried to capture Maharaj Yudhisthira, he tried to defeat Arjuna in so many different ways. And even though Duryodhana had with him Bhishma, Kripa, Drona, Ashwatthama, and all the great heroes, he thought himself to be invincible. But even though the army of the Pandavas were much less, because Krishna was present with Arjuna, he was undefeatable. We see also in the pastimes of Bhishma Deva, Krishna took the vow not to fight. He said, "I will not fight. I will just drive the chariot of Arjuna." But in the particular pastimes of Bhishma Dev, Bhishma took a vow to make the Lord break his promise and protect his devotees. So at the time when very fiercely Bhishma fought with Arjuna, at that particular time, Krishna became very upset that his disciple, his devotee, his friend, was being pierced by so many arrows of Bhishma Deva. At that particular time, Krishna feels so angry. He thought, I'm going to protect my devotee, whatever may be. Let the people call me names that I break the vow, that I will defeat Bhishma. So he took up a chariot wheel and he rushed toward Bhishma to defeat him and smash him into pieces. And of course Bhishma Deva was looking at Krishna and he was smiling. He was telling, yes my lord, come and finish me. I am a Kshatriya, I supposed to die on the battlefield. What better to die by your hand? Even though I have accepted food in the house of the Kauravas, and I have promised Duryodhana to fight for him, my duty is to die on a battlefield as a Kshatriya, looking at you. But at that moment, Arjuna rushed and actually cut the leg of Lord Krishna. And Krishna completely advanced, dragging Arjuna for many feet. And Arjuna pleaded, please, please, my lord, don't break your promise. We will defeat Bhishma Deva in some other way. And then the Lord stopped. So we can see also in this pastime how Krishna is always protecting his devotee. He's willing to go under any situation to do anything to protect his devotees. So that's the wonderful power of Krishna. So in this great Mahabharata war, so many things happened. And we can see ultimately that the Pandavas were victorious. Of course we can understand this is the pastimes of the Lord who came to exterminate all the Kshatriyas who were very powerful and were harassing everybody. So Krishna and Arjuna, who are none other than Narayan and Narayan, defeated all the evil forces of Duryodhana. The interesting thing to notice is that within the Mahabharata is that even though Duryodhana was advised by so many people, by Bhishma Dev, by all the elders, by Karna, by everybody, Dhritarashtra, even his own brother advised him to give back the kingdom, but Duryodhana was very adamant. He wouldn't give back. Even at the point that Krishna went as a messenger and asked, please give 5 villages for the Pandava to rule. They are your cousin brother. You should live happily. You know? But Duryodhana's reply was, I will not give a piece of land by which you can put a pin on it. Such was his evil mind. Even at one point he thought of capturing Krishna. When Krishna comes as a messenger, he wanted to capture him. He said, okay, I will capture him so the fight will be finished, the Pandavas will have no more power. So many plans he made, but his all plans were defeated. So why? Because Krishna is there. Krishna was with Arjuna, and no one could defeat him. They said when actually the fighting finished, the war was over, and they're still on the chariot, Krishna is requesting Arjuna, you step down. And Arjuna is telling, why should I step down? No, no, you step down. No, I will step down after you. No, Krishna is saying, no, you step down first. So when Arjuna stepped down from the chariot, he only moved a little bit far away. Then Krishna jumped out of the chariot, and the chariot pulverized. It became the big explosion and became powder. And Arjuna was astonished and said, what happened to this chariot? Well, you see, because I was protecting this chariot. All the astras, all the mantras, all the curse were actually withstand by me. And when I jump out of the chariot is destroyed. Otherwise, it would have been destroyed long, long ago. And Arjuna was surprised. He said, oh my lord, you are so wonderful. So this is the power of Lord Krishna. In this particular purpose, Srila Prabhupada explained that how many people, they become puffed up. Huh? They can become puffed up. We think, oh, I am very strong. I'm very beautiful, I'm very handsome, I'm very powerful, I'm the chief minister, prime minister, wherever we are wealthy, we have so much crores or rupees in our bank, and then we start to think, this is because of me, it's my power, I'm so good, I'm so great, I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent, that I have the power now. Not understanding that Krishna is the source of all power. This very simple thing, to understand the Supreme Lord, Krishna. If you understand Him, we can understand everything else, properly. It's like a person who suffers from eye vision, has no spectacle, then he cannot see properly. He sees something, but it's not proper vision. So when he put the specs again, he can see everything clearly. So knowledge is like that. Knowledge can make us understand everything very clearly. We can understand where is all this power coming from. Sometimes it's bewildering because we see that maybe some demoniac person, they appear to be very powerful. And we think, why the Lord is giving such a person power to inflict pain on other people, to do wrong things. But now, of course, we cannot see the whole picture. We only see a small part of the whole picture and we don't understand. There is karma involved, there is so many things, the plan of the Lord, which we don't see, we cannot understand from our small, insignificant position. But if we have faith in the Lord, He can reveal to us, He can show us everything. What it says in scripture, to those who have complete faith in the words of the Guru and Krishna, all the revealed knowledge of the Shastra can be revealed in his own heart. One time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, I think in South India, and he saw one Brahmana who was holding the Bhagavad Gita. He was crying. And he went to him and said, my dear Brahmana, why are you crying? He said, see, I'm a very unfortunate person. He said, why? I cannot read. I am illiterate. And my guru told me to study the Bhagavad Gita, but I cannot read. So I'm very unfortunate. But why are you crying, Lord Chaitanya asked? He said, I'm simply looking at this picture of Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot. And when I see that, my heart is melting. He said, why is that? He said, the Lord, my Lord, is taking the reign and the position of a driver of Arjuna, his devotees, and he's protecting him. And when I see this, I feel like crying. Lord Chaitanya said, you have understood the Bhagavad Gita. You don't need to study anything. You understood what is the position of Krishna, and all the revealed knowledge will come in your heart. So meditate on the Lord, and of course he told him to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he continues his journey. So like that, if we as a body, we understand the position we are and the position of Krishna as the Supreme Lord, as the Supreme Protector. Yesterday in Jagannath, in Nishingadev temple, we were reading about Prahlad Maharaj offering prayer to the Lord. And now the Lord appeared to protect his devotees. So this is so wonderful. And whenever the Lord is giving us power, is giving us position, then we can use that position, that power, to serve the Lord. Because everything we have, we should utilize it to please Krishna, to please his devotees. This is the most wonderful science. I call this science of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explained, there are so many scientific institutions in the world, so many big universities. You pay so many lakhs of rupees just to get admitted to one of them. But there is no university, there is no institution, apart from ISKCON, who is teaching the science of devotional service, the science of the soul, the science of going back home, back to God. There's no such an institute. There is no college where you go and they teach you about the soul, which is the most important part of our own self. If we do not understand who we are, if we do not understand who is the Lord and what is that relationship with Him, and how we can go back home, back to God, then it's a waste of time. We maybe have so much money, we maybe are so beautiful, so handsome, so strong, so powerful, in high position, in a great family, but if at the end of our life we don't remember Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who has beautiful eyes, who has a beautiful feature, who is all attractive, who is within the core of our heart, then what is the use? Simply struggling. It's simply like putting clarified butter or ghee on ashes, or magician creating money with some, you know, false illusion. This is all waste of time. So human life is very, very rare. Manusha sudurlabham. It's very wonderful to have this human form of life. Very rare to obtain also after out of 8,400,000 different species of life. We come to this human form of life. Hatato Brahma Jigyasa. Ramanujacharya gives 108 explanations of this sloka. Hatato Brahma Jigyasa. Now we must inquire about the Supreme Truth. Now that we are human beings, now that we have power of discrimination, now that we have intelligence, we can understand the Supreme Brahman. And in South India, all the great Acharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, all the Alwars, they explain this process. They are nothing but the Alankara of the Lord to appear in different times to give us devotional service. So we must take this transcendental knowledge, we must take to this process of devotional service very enthusiastically and very joyfully. Krishna explains, Susukam Kartum Avyayam. It is very joyfully performed. We see today the devotees are dancing in ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada said this process is very simple. Just chant, dance, and when you are tired, take some prasadam. What a wonderful process. And today I was here and I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada created such a wonderful movement. You know, you can travel around the world, whether we are in Kenya, we are in Switzerland, we are in Australia, New Zealand, anywhere in the world you can go, the same process is there. The devotees are chanting, dancing, taking prasadam. And this is so amazing. It's so wonderful. So, it is amazing to see how people all over the world are taking up this process of devotional service. And because this gives realization in our heart, everybody can participate in this process. Whatever background, whatever you come from, whatever body, whatever mentality, once we connect ourselves with Krishna through the Parampara system, then we are in a safe boat. Srila Prabhupada say that you are in a safe boat, it's gone. As long as you don't jump off and think you can swim by yourself, then we are safe. Only we have to follow 100% the Acharyas. They're giving us so much unlimited knowledge from whatever corner, from whatever angle you want to see it. You know, you can take it. You know, they really scrutinize this process of devotional service. And you cannot find any fault in it. You cannot find any flaw. It's so wonderful. But if somebody is so obstinate, he doesn't want to understand, then what can we do? My grandfather used to say, you can take the horse to the lake, but you cannot force him to drink. So we have to allow ourselves to give up our misconception and to open our heart, open our mind, expose ourselves to this transcendental knowledge of devotional service with the association of devotees. The most powerful things at devotional service and the most things which will keep us safe is the association of devotees. Because without association of devotees, it will be impossible to remain in devotional service. But let me tell you one small story one Russian devotee told me. He was traveling in in Siberia by train, and one old man came to him with a xerox copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And he told him, "Do you want to buy this book?" And this devotee looked at him. Of course, in Russia at the time they were all dressed like, you know, civil dress or karmic dress, what you call it. They were not having tila. So this old man didn't understand who was trying to sell. He has a bag full of these xerox of Bhagavad Gita in English. And this devotee is asking, "Who are you? What are you doing?" He said, "I'm an old man. I found this book in some library, you know. They were selling in this bazaar, you know, where there are so many books. So I was looking for something which would explain to me about God. I was so interested to know about God. I really want to know about God. And then I saw this book, and I saw it shining, and I purchased it, and I read it. And I'm reading this book, and in this book I found, this is the most profound book which explains about God. And in this book, the author of the book said, you must distribute this book. So every day I'm printing 10 xerox copies of this book. And I'm distributing this book because he said, you have to distribute this book." And the devotee said, "You know, we have a temple." He said, "Temple? What is a temple?" "You know, we are ISKCON." He said, "What is ISKCON?" "You know, there are devotees." He said, "What is devotee?" He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm vegetarian. I'm chanting Hare Krishna Mantra 16 rounds. This is what it says in this book I'm doing." An old man with a beard, you know, he doesn't know anything, but he's following these books. And the devotee said, "You come with me, I'll take you to the temple." He said, "What is the temple?" You know, he's in Russia, you know, they only know the church. So he took him to the temple, introduced to the devotee, and the guy was in bliss, in ecstasy, he was dancing, you know. He said, "Wow, this is so fantastic." So this is the power of this book distribution, you know. This man pick up a book from a bookstore and change his life. So the transcendental knowledge is so powerful. And Srila Prabhupada said, these books, they're actually bombs. They can explode in any place. You take this book, somebody buy this book, say, "Okay, let me buy this book. I don't want to read it, put it there." And I was in Calcutta, and I went to the American Express. My brother sent me some money. I was dressed like a devotee. And then I was there, and the chief manager, one lady, very attractive, she saw me and she said, "Please, when you finish, come and see me." I said, "Oh my God, what did I do wrong?" Then I went and see, you know, I said, "Please sit down." She's the manager of the American Express. He said, "You are a devotee of Krishna?" I said, "Yes." "You know, let me tell you the story," she said. "Do you have 5 minutes?" I said, "Yeah, sure." She said, "You know, I flew to Delhi. I was in a party, and I reached there early, my friend's house. And she has a library with so many books. So I pick up these books, and I start reading. It's a Bhagavad Gita. Hesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I was reading for half an hour, and I was very impressed. I asked my friend, 'Can I take this book?' She said, 'No, no, you cannot take it. I'm reading this book.' She said, 'Okay, no problem. I'll go and buy it.' And I went to so many bookstores, and I'm looking. There are so many Bhagavad Gita, but your Bhagavad Gita is not there. Why your Bhagavad Gita is not there?" Oh my God. She's chastising me. I said, "I'm sorry, but you know, we sell Bhagavad Gita in our temple." She said, "Why are you selling Bhagavad Gita only in your temple?" She said, "You know, we have a bus, a van. We are also selling Bhagavad Gita in the street." He said, "How many people can you see in the street? And how many people maybe don't want to see you with your funny dress?" I said, "Yeah, that's true." He said, "Why don't you put your book in the bookstore?" And she just died to me. I said, "Yes, okay, I think we'll do that. And can you get me a book for me next time you come?" I said, "Sure, no problem." Next day I went and I gave her a book and some operation, and she was very happy. So people that want this knowledge, people that are waiting for this knowledge for millions of lifetime, and we can be the ambassador of Srila Prabhupada, we can be the messenger of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Jagannath Subhadra Baladev, and the wonderful temple in Didi, and the movement which Srila Prabhupada has created, and bringing people to become happy. Srila Prabhupada, when he went in 1965 to New York and traveling in America, He said, I'm turning hippie into happy. So, Srila Prabhupada wants to make everybody happy. How? By chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, simply by this chanting sincerely and by following this very culture and Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, we can become so happy in this life that when people will see us, they say, hey, I want to be like this guy. This guy is so happy. Why am I not happy? My brother one time, he saw me, and he has the biggest station, radio station, private radio station in Italy. He's multimillionaire, he has helicopter, Ferrari, and all this stuff. And one time he sees me, he said, you are a thief. I said, why am I a thief? He said, you are so happy. I said, yeah, so what? He said, you have nothing. I have so many things. But I'm not happy like you. I said, well, the difference between me and you is that you are not chanting Hare Krishna. I am chanting Hare Krishna, that's why I'm happy. And then I start to explain to him, you know. But sometimes it's very difficult. Because if you are very rich, you think, everybody is my enemy. You know? Somebody approaching you, think, okay, this guy, what he wants from me? Because you have money, and you think everybody wants to take something from you. Whether it's the government in the form of tax, whether it's your employee that wants more money, whether it's you or anybody, you think, you know, you're very defensive. You think, you know, this guy, everybody wants something from you. So, sometimes it's very difficult for very rich people to become devotees because they think, hey, this guy, they want to take my money away. Right? But the devotees, they're not interested in that. They're interested in giving. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, said, I've not come here to take anything from you. I come to give you. And Srila Prabhupada went with a couple of dollars to America and a trunk of Bhagavatam. But he went and gave transcendental knowledge to the people. He was so magnanimous. According to the Vedas, who is a rich person? It's not the person who has a big bank balance. The rich person is the one who wants to share with others whatever he has. That person is rich. So, we have knowledge and we want to be rich. We want to share this knowledge with other people who will make them happy, who will make them rich with transcendental knowledge. Because once you have this knowledge, then no one can defeat you. The same Sanskrit, there are so many meanings to one word. Shastra. If you split this word, one of the acharyas explained, Saha Astra. Saha means that will remain always with you. And Astra means weapon. So Shastra means that weapon which will always be with you. No one can take away. Like Arjuna, no one could defeat Arjuna. Because Krishna was with him. So this transcendental knowledge is like Astra. It's like a weapon. No one can take it away from us. Why? Because once it's in your heart and in your mind, people maybe say so many things. People do so many things to you. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 21 marketplace. And the guard was beating him and said, how is it possible? After 2 marketplace, this guy must be dead. He's still alive. And he's chanting. And he's blissful. And then when they went and tell, please, Prabhu, if you don't die, the king will kill us. And then Haridas Thakur said, oh, I don't want to give you any problems. Let me die. Boom. He died. And then when they brought the body to the king said, what shall we do with this body? He said, we should not bury it because he was not a Muslim. He rejected the Muslim. We should not burn him like a Hindu because he was not Hindu. Throw him inside the Ganges. Let the vulture and fish eat his body. They throw him inside the Ganges. And after floating for a few kilometers, he woke up. And he's chanting Hare Krishna, he come back. And he's chanting in the same place. And when the guards saw him, they thought, wow, this guy is a ghost. We just threw his body a few days ago in the Ganges. He was dead. He was dead. He couldn't breathe. And then they went to report to the king. And Nawab went and paid obeisance. Please, Master, forgive me. I have done some offense against you. You are a great soul. You are a great muni. We have beaten you and all these things. I know, it's okay, no problem. He was so tolerant. So like that, anybody can do anything to us. They can torture us. But no one can remove Krishna from your mind. In the early time, talking about 25, 30 years ago, when in Russia, we were illegal to preach in Russia, you know, because communists, they don't like so much religion. Some of these people were kidnapped by the Russian police, and they were given treatment in a mental hospital. They were given electric shock, medicines, powerful medicine. And they were given so many treatments. And some of these devotees, they forgot their own name, but they couldn't forget the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this was amazing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When the doctor asked him, who are you? He said, I don't know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He said, what are you chanting? I don't know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He said, how is it possible? We give so much injection to this guy, you know, he can forget anything. And he forgets everything, but he cannot forget this mantra. It was amazing. There is some of this book where these pastimes are written for the devotees. There was one devotee who was in such a psychiatric hospital, and he contracted some disease, pneumonia, and he was about to die. The story has been told by another psychiatric patient who was next to him. So this devotee, he knew he was going to leave his body. Before he left his body, what he did? He took the soap and he put tilak all over his body. He took a bed sheet and he put it like a dhoti. And he took a newspaper, he made it into a garland. And he wet himself. He sat in meditation on the bed, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Boom! He left his world. He left his body. You know? And when this patient was released, he met some devotee in the street and he saw their tilak after many years. He said, hey, I saw one of your guys. He was next to my bed. And he told the story, what he did. This is the wonderful things of devotees. Just imagine the devotees, they're going through so much trouble for keeping their belief in Krishna consciousness. We are in India, which is the land of Dharma. We don't have such a problem. But we create our own problem in our own mind. We watch the Bollywood films and we think, I'm going to become like him. I can become like Aishwarya Rai and make a lot of money and all these things. This is love, like magical things, illusion. That is not real. We can really become happy if we accept this process of devotional service, full-hearted, full-soul, dedicate our life for pleasing Srila Prabhupada, for pleasing the devotee. Then we can become happy. And then we can remain humble. We don't need to become puffed up. Yeah? You can remain humble. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant going on forever of the devotees. That is our real position. The moment you start to think, I am somebody, I am the temple president, I am the regional secretary, I am this and that, all so many designations which are temporary. We cannot go back to God and thinking, I am big guy. No. I am the servant of Krishna. I am the servant of the devotee. Whatever position I am, is because Krishna has given me that position. Let me utilize the position for pleasing the devotee, for protecting this movement, for expanding this movement, so people can get benefit. That is a great service to the human society. And Srila Prabhupada said, this human society, which is actually going in the wrong direction, is not helping anybody, is propagating material consciousness, it's just like illusion. It's like sowing a seed in a barren land. There's no plant that's going to grow if you plant the seed on a stone on a barren land. So this materialistic society is very much in need of Krishna consciousness. And we are the messenger of Lord Chaitanya. We are the disciple, grand disciple, Srila Prabhupada. We are representing the parampara. We are representing a great generation of devotees. And it is our utmost duty to spread Krishna consciousness to whoever we meet, wherever we go. We speak Krishna Upadesh. We tell about Krishna. So with these words, I'd like to stop today's discourse, and I wish you all great happiness in your heart. Although in the beginnings maybe appear to be a little difficult, but if you continue to chant, you will feel so much happiness. And you feel very blissful throughout your life. Please chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. If there is any question or comment, please. We have another few minutes. Then I believe 9:30 and then the program is going to start. Yes, please. I don't know. I believe that the evolution of the soul, it maybe go through all 8,400,000 different species, but you know, this is the karma, is that once you go back to animal life, again you have to go through the evolution. So it depends where 8,400,000 you go, then you start again coming up. That is the system. Because that's why we are against killing all the animals. See, we are killing, if the animal has been killed, means it's been stopped of its progress. In that life, it's supposed to live as an animal to progress to next life. So, from wherever the karma promotes you to next life. But even if you become demigods, again you have to come back to the human platform. Unless you go to Brahma Loga, and Brahma becomes self-realized, and at the end of his life he goes back to God, and all the people go back to God. Sometimes they say it's very dangerous to go to the heavenly planet because it's a phantasmagoria place. You know, there's so much enjoyment. Sometimes the demigods flying in an airplane, they see some soul going, the Lord going back home, back to God, and they curse themselves. They say, look at us. We are all in this, enjoying so much. But look at this devotee from the earth planet, they're going straight back home, back to God. Because there is so much enjoyment. In this planet, there is kind of 50% enjoyment, 50% of suffering, which is good, because we can realize, hey, this is not the real place for us to be. You know? But in a heavenly planet, there is so much enjoyment. There is very little suffering. Sometimes the demons, they attack, take over. Still, there is so much enjoyment. They have all mystical power. They have so many things. They don't become old, you know. So we are in the best position now. Actually, we qualify to go back home, back to God in this very lifetime. So we can go back to God. And he says, before we go back to God, we go to a universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. So we partake with Krishna in that particular pastime, so that whatever small impurities that is burned by the personal association of Krishna, and then we go back home, back to God. Does this answer your question? Yes?
When we take the first step, you take as a human or animal?
We may take as a human. You know, this is a, sometimes we see that the scientists are saying that evolution of the soul, of the species and all this. Actually, Krishna created everything at one time. You know, when Krishna creates through Brahma, Brahma creates all the body at the same time. So somebody is becoming like cow, somebody is becoming like snake. From their previous karma, you know, because we are immortal, we are eternal. So we cannot see what we did in the bath in many millions of lifetimes. So it's very difficult to understand, you know, the origin, how the soul fall down and all those things. But Lord Chaitanya said we should focus on going back home, back to God. Just like if we fell off from the ship in Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, you don't think, how did I slip on the banana and how they fell over the rail? How was wet the floor? What type of floor? Why did they make it in wood and all this? Now you only think, hey, how can I get rescued? Because if I'm going to swim here, I'm going to die. Right, you scream and you say, hey, help me. No, somebody throw you a rope and then you come back to the ship. Then you can understand. Right? So similar position we are into. It doesn't matter how we fall down. We fall down, we become envious of Krishna. Somehow we thought, I want to be God. I want to enjoy like him. He has so many girlfriends. Why not me? He is enjoying so much nice food. Why not me? And then Krishna said, okay. You know, here is only me, But you want to be God, then go to the material world and try to be God if you can. We try, but it's very difficult. Yeah? So then when the soul says, when the jiva becomes awakened, at one point he thinks, why am I suffering? Why am I becoming old? Why am I forced to die? Then he starts to inquire about the absolute truth. Then he starts to search, hey, there's something wrong. I thought I'm God, but I'm not. I'm getting old, you know, I'm getting pain, and I'm going to die. So an intelligent person will ask himself those questions, and he'll reawaken his spiritual consciousness. And when that moment, that person, the jiva, he inquires about the absolute truth, at that very moment, Krishna sends some devotee to meet you, to meet us. When we are ready, we have to cook a little bit in the material world, we have to struggle a little bit. At one point we are ready, and Krishna, okay, some book, some prasadam, some devotee will contact you. Because you are ready. Krishna is in your heart. And then you are connected again. You go back home, back to God. Does this satisfy your question? Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. After our death, is it the body or the Atma? Is it the body or the Atma which gets the punishment for our wrongdoing?
After we die, is our body or our soul getting punishment? Obviously the soul cannot live without the body, so the soul has to take another body, and according to the body has to suffer and enjoy the reaction. In fact, what we are today here, in this, we are in this body, is nothing but the reaction of our previous life. Correct? In the Garuda Purana explained, if somebody is born with a certain chronic disease, it's because in the previous life they've done something wrong. So through the body, the bi-medium is the body. Body is Jantra, Rudrani, Mayaya, it's machine. Somebody has a Mercedes-Benz, somebody has an ambassador, or Fiat. According to their money, they have to buy their car, isn't it? You maybe want to have a Mercedes-Benz and Ferrari, but if you don't have the money, of course in India, even if you have the money, you cannot drive it, because there is only this much clearance, 2 inches. But then, yeah, that's another point. But according to your credit, yeah. But the idea, devotional service completely takes you out of karma. See, devotional service connects you with transcendental devotional service, which you become free from all karma, and you go back home back to God. So you can annihilate your karma at this very point. By chanting Hare Krishna, by performing devotional service, Krishna minimizes your karma to very insignificant. In fact, he says, sometimes you hurt yourself, maybe you are putting a nail or you bend your finger, right? Maybe you're supposed to lose the whole arm, but Krishna is giving you a little pain. Okay, boom. Okay, I got a little pain in my finger. So Krishna minimizes for his devotee. Why? Because he's your well-wisher. He wants to see you advancing. You're going back to God. They said that Krishna, he loves us so much more than we love him. And when we go back to God, Krishna is waiting with open arms. He said, where have you been? I've been waiting for you so long. We were in illusion. We forgot Krishna. But Krishna is always, through the Paramatma, he's always coming with us. He really loves us. Yes? Any other questions? Any comment? Mataji, any question this time?
As we are told that we are eternal, in many lives we have taken, we are soul eternally. But there will be some origin.
Some origin.
Some origin will be there.
Sure, Krishna is the origin of all souls. Krishna expands himself for his own pleasure. That's what's explained in the Vedas. That, you know, just like if I give you a big cake, 7-layer cake, and I say, okay, you sit down in one room by yourself and you enjoy. Will you enjoy? Or you will think, okay, you're calling all your friends and you're ready and share that cake with them.
If Krishna only has expanded, then why we become contaminated?
Why we become contaminated? Because Krishna is, we are made on the same form and image of Krishna, and Krishna is giving us some independence. That means we have a choice at every moment of our life. So, at one point in our life, we decide to be like Krishna, we become envious, and then we come to this material world. And of course, it says there are two types of jiva, those eternally liberated and those who are conditioned. So we are in a marginal position. We are in a marginal position. We can choose to be liberated, we can choose to be conditioned. So it's our choice. It's our choice that we want to remain in this material world, or it's our choice we want to go back home, back to God. Krishna consciousness is nothing by choosing every second of your life Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Every moment of our life we can choose to please Krishna. And then we can qualify ourselves again to go back home, back to God. But as explained before, it's not so important for us to understand how we fall down. Somehow we fall down and we are down. So just like sometimes you walk in the street, you know, and you fall down, then what is the next thing to do? Is wake up and walk again. Correct? You know, you remain on the floor and think, oh, why this mud is here, why, you know, why the government didn't put the rail here, why they didn't do this, and you know, what? You're going to stay there forever, but doesn't going to help you. Rather, some bus is going to run over you, or some people think you're crazy, man. Why are you not waking up? Why are you not getting up? Or you've broken your leg or something, somebody will come and help you. So, the thing is that we have to wake up to the next things, which is Krishna consciousness. Now we have knowledge. Now, if that's what you want to know, Krishna will reveal to you in due course of time. As we become purified, Krishna can reveal to us everything. But it's not so necessary at this very moment to understand that. The important thing is to understand Krishna and the process of devotional service and our relationship with Krishna, and how we can go back home, back to God, where we are established in our eternal position. And some acharya explain, when we go back, come back to God, and we wake up there, and there is Krishna, and there is the gopis, and they are real, and we are doing the Mangal Arati, and we are chanting and dancing, but Krishna is sitting there, and at the time, we maybe remember our material life like a nightmare. Just like you wake up in the morning, sometimes you have a nightmare. In the nightmare you think, oh my God, my whole life, you know, the tiger is attacking, you're suffering, you're burning, and you're screaming, and you're crying, and you wake up, you're sweating, and you think, phew, it was only a nightmare, my God. It was so intense, right? It was a nightmare. It was not real. So same thing, when we go back to God, we think, oh my God, it was such an insignificant nightmare, being material world. We think it's very important, so many things, you know, but the main important thing is, the main thing is the main thing. Vastu ka vastu, that's Krishna. So if you focus on Krishna, everything is revealed and we can be reinstated in our eternal position of happiness. That's what we're supposed to be. Does this answer your question? Any other questions there? Yes,
Prabhu.
No, Krishna, Arjuna is explaining, I am the same Arjuna who used to drive this chariot, I am the same Arjuna who used to have the Gandiva bow, I am the same Arjuna who used to do all these things, but now I have no power. So that's what he's telling. He's not sitting on the same chariot. The chariot was destroyed. Now he's sitting on some other chariot. He's accompanying the wife of Lord Krishna. But he's coming to this realization that because Krishna was with me, I had all this power. Now Krishna is gone, I have no power. Just like if there is no sun, there is darkness. We may be put powerful lights, but nothing like the sun. We illuminate everything. So like that, if Krishna is not there, Krishna is not giving us power. He may say Krishna is giving us the power of our senses. That is coming from Krishna. Krishna is in the form of fire digestion in our stomach. In Ayurveda, all the diseases start with the weakness of the fire in the stomach. When you don't digest properly, then all diseases start. Why? Krishna becomes minimized. And then your fire digestion is not there. Then you eat anything, but you cannot digest, so you don't get strength. So Arjuna is remembering that the whole power that he had was was nothing but Krishna's power. Does this satisfy you? Why Krishna should be present personally?
Because Arjuna was having Krishna in his heart.
Of
so
course.
So all the time he is having, he remembers Krishna. So.
See, we have to understand this in the context of pastimes. Yeah? This is a pastime for us to understand. So Krishna was present with Arjuna, and Krishna wanted to show that Krishna is present with him, and he was so powerful because of Krishna. But Krishna is also present in the form of his holy name. In fact, they say in Kali Yuga, the power of Krishna is within his holy name. So if you chant Krishna's holy name, you'll become all powerful. So we should all chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So thank you very much. The new program is going. 1 minute delay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.